Welcome to Season 5 of the Excel Still More podcast. I'm still your host, Chris Emerson, and I'm here to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and I'm glad you've joined. The program continues to be sponsored by Cunningham Financial Group. John is a good friend, and he's helped me and my family in everything from stock and mutual fund investing to annuities, life insurance, and retirement planning. I certainly commend him to you. If you have needs in any of those areas, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. Thank you again for your ongoing encouragement and support. Let's get started. Hey, welcome back, and thanks once again for listening in and being a part of this project. Today's episode is a little bit unique in that I'm closing in on maybe 300 of these, and I think this is the first time that I've ever done just a full re-record. Like, there's an entire episode called Ideal Team Player that has been dumped in some digital garbage can for good. I think it was for a good reason, so I'll explain that shortly, and then we'll jump right into this content. So I first recorded this episode on this topic maybe around a week ago. I knew I'd be leaving town doing some preaching at a state, so I wanted to get ahead. And I was actually intending on doing something different. We're studying this really great book in our Lindell Adult Auditorium classes by Jacob Hudgens called House Rules. And those rules have become a great launching point into conversations that have been rewarding for me. And so I thought maybe I would start a series and take you through two rules at a time. And while that did not end up happening, I'm considering getting into that within the next few weeks. But anyway, just before I got in the car last week to come up here and record that, I got a text from my daughter Hannah. She had just watched a TED Talk by a guy named Patrick Lencioni, and she found it super helpful, and she sent it to me. And honestly, she's awesome, and when she sends me stuff, I jump on it right away. And it really was super great. I got excited about it right away. I came up here, and 90 minutes after first learning about this TED Talk, I recorded an episode. And honestly, I think the episode came out pretty well. It just wasn't particularly tested in my life at that point. As you'll hear in a minute, there are three key words that I'm asking you to memorize. Don't just agree with me when I share them with you, but memorize them. And I can now tell you, a week later, about some benefits from that, because after that recording, I did leave town, and I had a chance to meet with elders of a local church, preachers from a couple of different local churches, some families at those churches. When I got back home, I had some studies and meetings with people here at the Lindell Church. I had a lengthy meeting recently with a preacher from another area here in Texas. In between that, there were conversations at the airport and on airplanes and everywhere else. And going into all of that, I had committed these three words to memory and committed myself to an approach in each and every one of those situations. And so now, from a testimonial standpoint, I can tell you that the content from that TED Talk was not good. It was great. And what I was tempted to do today was just open up the file and add a bonus 2 or 3 minutes to talk about that. But I really feel like the kind of impact that this is having, I just wanted to take all of the excitement that I have now and pour out an episode start to finish. So first of all, to jump in, there was a statement made early in the presentation, and that's the moment I knew that I was going to share it with you, when he said that life is a team sport. I mentioned a couple of minutes ago that when I first recorded this episode, I called it an ideal team player, which is sort of the objective of the things that I'll be sharing with you. But this initial statement has grown on me so much that I decided to make it part of the title of the episode instead. When we say life is a team sport, what we're saying is that being alive and functioning in our society is built predominantly by various teams of which you are a part. This idea that it's really just you and it's individual and you're on your own, but you occasionally interact with other people, is a false premise for the way society has really ever worked. When you are born into a family. This is the beginning of your life, and it starts on a team. It is more than just you. There are different roles assigned. Everyone over time has various responsibilities, and ultimately, the value of the whole is bigger than the demands of any one person. When you become a member of the church, you're not just in a relationship with Jesus, you are added to the body of Christ. this body functions together. It's made up of different parts, more than one part, and for the benefit of the whole, and ultimately Christ, not just a single person. I really wish more of us could grab a hold of this idea that if I am a Christian, I am a part of a group of people where I have responsibilities and benefits. We could extend this out to a company that you work for or a company that you own. Certainly with our kids, we know there are sports teams or different associations that we join ourselves to. It really turns out that our whole life is about society interaction, and there's just a bunch of different teams of which we are a part. Some we choose, some we don't, some we can exit if we'd like, some we have for the rest of our lives. But society and your part in it is made up of so many of these interactions that it's faulty to say that life's really just you and God and some occasional fellowships that benefit you. Life, practically every part of life, and access to life's greatest value is understanding that it is a team sport. Now, I think this brings about an important question. In any one of those different circles we want to discuss, I can then follow up and ask you, are you a good team player? Let me just say, if you don't see yourself as part of a team, it doesn't mean you aren't a part of one. It just means you aren't a very good part of that team. And that's why I spent this early portion trying to convince you that that's the way your life is constructed. So if that's the way God built us, to be in a family, in a church, in a business, in a community, it really feels to me like we should begin to ask the question, am I a good team player? And what would an ideal team player look like? So this is where our TED Talk speaker, Patrick, comes in, who has studied this in companies across the world and has boiled it all down to three simple qualities. Basically, if these three are yours, if you are thinking about them, if you are increasing in them, you will contribute to others and to your own benefit in special and insightful and influential ways. Okay, three words that I want you to commit to memory over the next couple of days. Humble, hungry, and smart. Beyond the initial importance of recognizing that you are a part of a team and it's time to start thinking that way, the next most crucial thing you can do is walk yourself through the content of these three ideas, figure out where you need to put in the most effort, and make them the standard by which you operate in those teams. Now, let me break down each one with a little bit of definition, some of which is from Patrick and some from myself. The number one thing on the list is to be humble. And basically what we're driving at here is that it can't just be about you. It really shouldn't even initially and centrally be about you. Humility is Jesus, who understood that if he didn't make a change for our benefit, he would be saved, but no one else would. So he was humble enough to alter himself for the good of the whole. And that's what humility really is. It's this understanding that it's bigger than me, and my willingness to change or sacrifice or serve will serve the benefit of the team in which God has placed me. Humility asks questions like, what can I do to make this family stronger? What am I contributing for the benefit and work of this church? How does my presence and contribution and attitude make this baseball team better? Now, it should be noted, when we say humility, we don't mean being passive or silent or ignoring things. You may be a naturally quiet and reserved person, or you may be a very assertive person. Both of those people can be humble. And of course, in order for you to be a benefit to whatever team we're discussing, you have to assert yourself. But humility is always doing it for the greater benefit of others and God, and then sort of receiving the blessings for self as part of that whole, or as something that comes to you later. Number two is hungry. And this just means ambition. This means you have to care. When we stop caring about the team we're on, we're no longer valuable to that team. Hungry means I want to see us succeed. Notice I use the word us. I'm willing to work hard for our benefit. It's not just humility that hopes the best for others over self. It is committed to and passionate about making a difference. In some cases, this means being selective on what teams you join. We're not going to sign up Nick for a sport that he's not willing to work towards or doesn't care about. Because once he joins the team, he's signed up to be an influencer in some positive way. Of course, in other cases, you're just on that team. You are in your family, and you can't get to a point where you're lazy or discouraged or passive or just don't care anymore. The second great quality is hunger. And the third is smart. Now, when I say that to you, don't think intelligence or education. Think wisdom, particularly with respect to interacting with other people. Someone who is smart knows the right thing to say and the wrong thing to say. They know when to say it for best benefit, and they know that how they say it will make a difference. Smart people are self-aware of how they sound to others, and they're careful to try to convey the message well. So I'm asking you to memorize HHS, humble, hungry, and smart. You can use this mental approach to teams you've been in for a very long time, to new interactions or even passing ones, to make everything come out as good as it possibly can. Some of us are better at these than others, but my encouragement to you is that you work on all of them, and especially the weakest ones of the list. Patrick, in the middle of his talk, said, you know, sometimes we're good at two of these, but not the third one. And while we might think that's good enough, usually it isn't. He gave terms to people who are two-thirds of the ideal team player. He started with the person who is humble. It really is about more than themselves. And they're hungry. They're trying hard and passionate about it, but they're just not smart. They don't think through the right way to execute. He gave them the label the unintentional messmaker. And while I hope you might grab one of these three that best represents you, for me, this was the one. I think for the most part, I can think outside of myself, and I'm certainly passionate about all that I do, but I'm not often careful about how I pursue it. I was just starting to think maybe it wasn't me, and then he said, you're that person where a friend has to tell someone, look, if you knew them better, you would know that's not what they meant. And I was like, okay, my friends have to say that on my behalf about once a week. The second two-thirds match is someone who is humble and they're smart, but they're just not hungry. They care about the team, they communicate with people very, very well, but they're just not hardworking or passionate about the effort that they're putting in. He calls them the lovable slacker. He says, these are the people we eventually fire, but we fire them like 5 years later than we should have because we just like them so much. These people are easy to get along with and they're very kind, but you just end up having to do work that they should be doing. And that's something that people like that really need to work on. But then there's also one other two-thirds group. Patrick notes that they are the most dangerous of all, and I agree. This is someone who is passionate and hungry and hardworking and very good with people, but they are not humble. Ultimately, it is all about them. And the problem with that is they're so smart in the way that they communicate with others that they hide their pride very well. And usually, by the time any sort of team, a family or church or friendship group figures out that their passion was really for their own self-interest, there's just a whole lot of damage that's been done. He calls this person the skilled politician. And while that probably is a great title for such a person, I think I'll just leave that right there and not elaborate on it today. Okay, so what he's illustrating is that if you have some of these qualities, that's good, but you need all three. And then he went on to ask me, the listener, to do two things, and I struggled with both of them. The first was to rate yourself 1, 2, 3, which of them are you best at, and which of them worst, and which is in the middle. And I really just struggled with that. I found myself to sometimes be strong and sometimes weak on each of them, just depending on the situation. Maybe you understand what I'm saying. I think there are times when I'm thinking bigger picture than myself, when I'm invested in the good of those around me, but then there are other times when I'm completely focused on myself. I think there are times when I'm hungry and passionate and all in, and then I think there are times when I get down and I just want to phone it in or hit the couch or just give up. And I have the capacity to be smart, that is to communicate well and be careful and patient and listen first, and that always works out well. But for me, that's something I have to put constant attention on, or it turns into less intelligent, and sometimes even reckless behavior. So you probably know I have an I Am Rahab t-shirt. I made it another one that says I Am Peter with underneath in brackets, the early years. So for me, I could not complete task one. I could not confidently rate it. Now I can rate its importance, and I think he laid it out that way. Being humble is the number one most important thing of the three. Being passionate and involved and caring is second on the list. And then thirdly is trying to go about it in the wisest possible way. So whether you're able to rate yourself or not, we will use that structure in a moment in final application. The second thing he asked me to do is go to a fellow team member and tell them how I rate myself and then let them comment on that. And while Summer and I have done that together, and it was interesting and actually pretty encouraging, on the whole, I'm just not sure I'm ready for that. And while some of this is just innate character qualities that would permeate every team you're a part of, school or work or church or home, there are definitely variations that occur in each different team design. So to me, that sounded very difficult. But here's what I settled in on trying. And this is why I re-recorded the episode, because I've been working very hard on this over the last week. First of all, to reference the open of the episode, see teams everywhere. Your life is about being on teams. Notice them everywhere that you go. Secondly, memorize these three words in this order: humble, hungry, smart. And then before those interactions, understanding that this is going to be important, that your contribution matters, that you're tired of doing this conversational autopsy where it doesn't go well, where feelings get hurt, and you look back and realize you had glaring weaknesses that you never even thought of. And look, nobody's perfect. We still make mistakes along the way. We have chronic weaknesses that we're working on. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of conversations went very differently recently, and I'm attributing it to the fact that before I walked into that house, before I visited that church, before I sat down with that preacher, I went through a very intentional process. Firstly, Chris, be humble. Be interested in what you can contribute to a good outcome for everyone involved, not just yourself. And then I would pray to God, God, help for me to be humble, for this to not even come off like it's about what I know or what I think you should do or what benefit I'm trying to derive. If I am truly confident in being a servant of Christ, then I don't need to be the beneficiary of every conversation or effort that I make. I am here to learn and contribute and bring together. Secondly, stay hungry. In other words, keep caring. Don't unplug. Don't phase out. Don't throw up your hands. Work hard. Do your best. Make a difference. I prayed about this before I got to the church that I visited last weekend, before I was in some pretty crucial conversations over the last several days. When things get tough, we turn our attention to ourselves, we clam up, and we back away. Sometimes it's just easier to quit or to stop caring than it is to labor through what it takes for us to get to a better place. I will say that this second one is rarely a problem for me. I pretty much only do things and involve myself in things that I'm in some way incredibly passionate about. But for me, it really comes down to the third thing. Number three, be smart. Don't be impetuous. Don't speak first. Don't be defensive of everything that you hear. Be careful with your words. You want to move people. That's how teams grow. They have to change and move and learn. But you don't want to drive them away because of the way that you approached it. I pray about this all the time. When I'm preaching, I just let it all go. Whatever I'm seeing on the page, whatever feels important to me in Christ, and I don't often think about the way I say it. And if you're someone like that, just take some time before you go into these team meetings or planning sessions or worship services or whatever and think, yes, I want the right things for all of us, but how is the best way to approach this? So anyway, this simple, crucial approach to things has had deep impact already on my life. I'm not a tattoo guy, but if you ever see an HHS on my arm, you will know exactly what that is about. Be humble, be hungry, and be smart. It is our ability to grow in each of these that will make us ideal team players in life. And why exactly is that so important? because life is a team sport. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this program, will you share it with someone you care about? One thing I've learned over these 5 seasons is that there's nothing as powerful in advertising as word of mouth sharing between friends. Speaking of friends, let me once again commend you to give John Cunningham a call. He and his team have a wide variety of tools to help you use your present budget and life to build towards a more secure and hopeful financial future. Once again, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. And always remember, whatever you choose to do today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excel still more.